Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Tonight is a night of giving perspective, and it's also a night of prophetic declarations. So on one side, what God will have us do and why He will have us do what He wants us to do will be clearly elucidated. And on another side, through prophetic declarations, empowerment, graces will be imparted. So we don't just know what we are supposed to do. We become the embodiment, the personification of that which God has in mind. And I believe everyone under the sound of my voice will step into higher levels, higher dimensions, until you become everything God has declared you will be in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. You know, we live in a strange world. And so it's important for us to draw our navigation from the realm of God. There are many ideas, there are many philosophies, there are many ideologies. Some informed by human intelligence, others inspired by demonic spirits. All of which are designed to shape this world and to bet a civilization that is alien from God. I just came in from the western part of the world. And the system is so designed that even if you want to serve God, it will be impossible. You will have to walk and work out your life to be able to pay your bills. Because the system runs on bills. So people work. The moment the money comes, everything disappears. If you don't work, you become a stranger. And the territory is not like this one where you say, I'm homeless. So I'm on the street for a while. When I came out of the airport and stepped into the environment, I was embraced by 0.3 degrees Celsius. That is colder than your fridge. So you don't even have the liberty to say, oh, I'm hanging around. No. So you must have to work out your life until you are able to pay your bills. If not for anything, for legitimate things. I'm not talking I need money for pleasure. I'm talking I need money to survive. A friend of mine relocated to the UK and he got a job. In a month, he was earning, I think, about £2,000, which is supposed to be, wow. He was in Nigeria earning that, I think, 6 months of the year. Now he's earning it in 1 month. You think he wants to rest? His house rent is £1,500. Meanwhile, this house rent, that's for a month, not for the year. That's what he pays for 1 year in Lagos. Now he's paying it for 1 month. And this is not a duplex. This is a room and parlor. By the time you remove light bills, you know, it's not like here where you say, oh, they have cut light, so I will pay anytime I can. I will be in darkness for 6 months. Nobody will allow you. At the end of the day, you have to have many shifts to be able to pay your bills. Meanwhile, there are people at home who say, God has helped our son. He's now in the UK, send money. There's no send money anywhere. the money is not enough to survive. So we are in a strange world. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Every territory has its peculiarity. While you are in Africa complaining about corruption, in the Wesley world, they are complaining about immorality. The whole system is informed by intelligence, superior to your mind, designed to create a civilization that will cut you off from God. And a day will come when God will become alien to your world. And when they talk about God, even if you are modest to receive it, God will become like a fairy tale. In fact, in our current dispensation, one of the strongest arguments is the argument of the existence of God. They are now debating, philosophers, theologians, whether this God is even real in the first place. Because the way the world is going, we are seeing that we don't necessarily need his impute. That's where the world is going. So if you go to the internet and you click arguments on the existence of God, you'll see a myriad of debates. From ontological argument to cosmological arguments to teleological arguments, all kinds of arguments. Before you now even begin to talk about the deity of Jesus, I'm talking about God first. They have not come to the dimension of God that took flesh. They are arguing whether the sovereign one that you believe in, whether he exists. And these debates, all kinds of debates, some of which theologians who believe in God are trying to look for an intelligent way to communicate God. Because there are people today who stand and they make bold to tell you that God does not exist. In fact, when I studied through some of these things, I just laughed. Let me give you an idea. The ontological argument is the argument of essence. The essence of a being. And the argument postulates that the greatest thing, if there is anything such as the greatest thing in existence, that thing has to be God. Because nothing else can be greater than God. And the argument went further to postulate that if God is the greatest thing, then God cannot be a mental concept. Because reality is superior to mental concept. If I have a pen in my mind, even if that pen is worth $1 million in my mind, a pen at hand that is worth $10 has more relevance than the one in my mind. So reality is superior to concept. And so because God is the greatest thing or being that ever is and can be, God cannot just be a concept. Therefore, God is real. And you'll see a lot of debates and arguments about it. I saw one, somebody said, I can also come to postulate the same argument for anything. I can just decide to create an island in my mind and say, the greatest island on earth has a white snow, has blue river, and all kinds of things. And then you see another counter opinion that if you are talking about an island, you have to compare an island with an island. When we talk about the greatness of God, we are not comparing him with any other thing because there's nothing. So when they fought that argument and they couldn't, they now proceeded to cosmological argument because they are looking for something that is more real, more factual. So let's leave the whole idea of concept. Let's come to reality that we see. And they began to postulate arguments. In fact, the cosmological argument have four parts. The first part is the argument of motion. Earth is moving and nothing can move on its own except as there is someone or something that is pushing it. So whatever it is, that is pushing earth, that thing has to be God. I'm sure you know, Christianity in Africa here, you just come, you say, God can give you food, and everybody say amen. In the Western world, it's not like that. Because they don't need God to eat food. So you have to explain, you know, how you came to believe what you believe is different from how you explain it. So there's a debate now to prove. So we are not even talking about your faith yet. Let's find out. Forget about Islam, forget about Christianity. Is God real? That's the question they are asking. Because they want to remove God from our equation. So that we live as a godless people. We will live as a people without a reference. So people are debating night and day to prove that God exists. I'm showing you the labors going on today. For this Christianity you are practicing to be valid. So that when you say God, somebody will have reverence. Because when they are able to prove that God does not exist, then there's no need to have reverence for a being that does not exist. There's no need to serve a being that does not exist. So if you come and you say, God told me, they will say, what are you talking about? There's no God. And if they are able to succeed, the next generation coming, it will be systematically built into the syllabus and they will be taught that there's nothing like God. So debate. If the earth is moving, someone must have pushed it. And this law is supported by science. The Isaac Newton's law. Second law of thermodynamics, which is the law of inertia. That's the first law of inertia. That a body cannot be set in motion, or if a body is in motion, it cannot stop, except there's an external force imparted or exerted upon it for that motion to take place, or for that motion to stop. So on the strength of that, God would have been the one who put the earth in motion. There's another argument of cause and effect, which is still a cosmological argument. That whenever you see an effect, something caused it. You are hearing this sound now because I'm making sound. If I stop, you won't hear the sound anymore. So effects don't exist on their own. Effects are created. So when you see the world, the physical world, something must have been behind its creation. So they are trying to use factual things to prove God. There's another argument of contingency. There's another argument of degrees. The argument of degrees is the argument of morality. That everybody, even the worst human being, have some codes of morality that governs him. So if I slap somebody who does no evil to me, even if I don't have a conscience, I will know that that thing is not right. And so the argument is that if everyone has built into him intrinsically moral laws, then there must be a moral lawgiver. So anything that you do, there must be a reference that shows you. Now, the reason you say somebody came first is because somebody came last. If there's no second, if there's no third, if there's no last, then there can be no first. So every time you find a law or anything that can be graded, it means there is a reference. So there's a perfect being, there is a moral being who happens to be the moral giver, law giver. It's on the strength of his existence that you and I believe in morality in the first place. Otherwise, what is the reference? All of that is factor. They call it cosmological arguments. And the debate is robust. See, sometimes go and study. Don't just shout, I have power. If not, you will not be relevant in certain quarters. Because anything that is established in some of these regions will be pushed here. And people here will accept it. Because most of the things you are doing now flooded into your space from there. That's why you and I are wearing suit. They brought internet for us. We were comfortable walking about until they say, no, it's not good to walk, fly. We were comfortable with our normal communication. If I want to see Japheth Bingbande, I will trek to Japheth's house and we'll have good fellowship. They say, you don't have to sit at home, punch some keys. There's such a thing called Facebook. You can look at yourself and talk from a distance, real time. And today, if some people don't go on Facebook for one day, they will have sickness. That means the power of civilization is such that it defines your essence, even if you don't know where it came from. This is why you need to have deep understanding. That's the world we live in. And then they keep building and modifying these arguments. It's a teleological argument. The teleological argument is the argument of intelligent design. They say the earth is not just there. That when you study the patterns in the earth is too intelligent to have happened randomly. If you look at the man, for example, go and click the video of how the heart works. You will see some videos on the internet where the heart was removed in heart transplant. If you see the way the heart is jerking, that's how it jerks for your lifetime. If it stops, you will die. So the earth is too organized to have happened randomly. There must have been an intelligent person operating behind the scene to sustain this perfect harmony and organization. And so they call that argument the argument of intelligent design, or the argument of teleology, organized patterns that cannot be denied. And these arguments continue unending. Now, every time an argument is postulated, they bring something else to debunk it. For example, they say, if you claim that God designed the earth in such an organized fashion, why is it that if a butterfly completes metamorphosis, the wings have to remain wet for a period of time before it dries up? Meanwhile, that period that is wet, a predator will kill it. So is it that God is not mindful of the butterfly? So they are arguing God from butterfly. And if that argument wins, the faith of more than 2/3 of the earth will collapse because of butterfly. Because they are demonic princes trying to counter what is real and what we believe in. But you see, there is the supremacy of faith, which is why we do what we do. Because there are understandings we have that is beyond everything the mind can comprehend. Because the truth is that no matter how you try to prove the existence of God, you can never have an absolute conclusion. You can only have analogies and relative, comparative kind of conclusions. You cannot have an absolute conclusion because you are trying to explain an infinite being using finite parameters. Your brain is too small to contemplate that which has no beginning and no end. And so because God himself understands, this is why he encoded into our syllables of thought the principle of faith. Because he knows that at some point we will argue and argue, and the argument will be unending. Now, there's nothing wrong in arguing, because at some level you attain some rational conclusions that make sense. Not an absolute conclusion, but rational conclusions that make sense. And that may be the saving grace of many. But there is such a thing superior to what the mind can conclude. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 1, it says, faith, talking about faith now, to verse 3. Hebrews 11, let's begin from there. Open scripture. Let's open scripture. So that somebody doesn't say, is he becoming a theologian? Or a philosopher? He said, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, he said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And in verse 3, which is my emphasis, he said, through faith we understand. So there are certain understandings that you will have through faith. And the understanding is not just a vague understanding. He said, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and the things which are were not made from the things which do appear. So the realm of faith is superior to the realm of the mind. Now, why am I bringing this perspective? Because there are many quarters where your understanding can be challenged, yet your faith will be resolute. And if you are not a being of faith in this last day, you will fall. Because you will get to certain places, some of the things you know will be so debunked, and you may not have anything to say. If you don't have anything to say, don't be proud. I will go and research and come back, but know that what I know is superior to what I can explain. There is a technology, a mechanism working on my inside that makes me understand the things that are not because of the things that are. Through faith we understand. You know, God is so ahead of man that the very first thing the Bible talks about is what man has debated for aeons. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, it said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So the first verse of the Bible, the world is still deliberating on it, is to show you how backward the world is compared to the realms of faith. Through faith we understand. Because most of the things God is instructing us to do may not make sense. And in fact, sometimes when you are passionate about serving God, somebody can look at you and say you have been brainwashed. Somebody can look at you and say, all these religious bigots, they are just deceiving themselves. You know the problem? They don't have faith. We can debate with them in the realm of the mind, but when it comes to the realm of faith, they don't have the substance of faith. The reason you are doing what you are doing is because you have the substance of faith. Your mind may catch up later, but before your mind catches up, your spirit is already there. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And those who think what we are doing is fanaticism, a day will come when time will come to an end. Because even in their arguments, they argue that time, space, and matter began at the same time. That's the about Einstein's theory of relativity. Time could not have begun before matter. Because if time began before matter, what was there? And time could not have begun before space. Because if time began before space, or if space began before time, when was space created? And if time began before space, how was it referenced? Who was there to reference it? So the three exist together. The truth is that that is true. And if that is true, it means time, space, and matter began somewhere. And if time began somewhere, a day will come when time will end. And the day when time ends, it is fate that we survive. And so the things we are doing is superior to time. But the minds of many are messed up because spirits are trying to shift men who have shallow convictions. The truth is that you cannot refute the existence of God, because every argument is not an argument to prove his existence actually. It's actually an argument to explain his existence, because you cannot deny it. The Bible said that light is the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. Even the person who is trying to prove or disprove is doing it because there is something on his inside comparing him. He cannot rest. The only problem is that he doesn't want to accept it until he has rational evidence. And we who are people of faith, we believe it even when there is no tangible thing, because there is a tangibility in our spirit that we cannot deny. And so I'm telling you this to prepare you for where we are going. We are going to step into strange territories, strange realms. We are going to enter into harvest fields where we will contend with beasts that can come to attack your mind, attack your body, attack your resources. Something must be formed on your inside that is more real than everything your brain can explain. Are you following? Holy and forever you are God. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. And forever you are God. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. You are holy. And forever you are God. Chapter 7. Give me Daniel 7 verse 9. Let me read some scriptures to you. This world will come to an end. All of the kingdoms built from the partnership of men and demons will end. A day will come when they will end. If you study Daniel chapter 7 from verse 1, the Bible showed us four kingdoms that emerged, that ruled this world. That's when you will understand the powers behind civilizations. Because in the natural, those kingdoms are actually civilizations with defined ideologies. But in the spirit, they are represented by beasts. Some of them are shaped like leopards. Others are shaped like lions. So what you call a system and a civilization is actually a prince in darkness. So there is a realm beyond the stars where those princes are judged so that those civilizations can end. And it is the culmination of that you find in Daniel 7 verse 9. It says, and I beheld till thrones were cast down, and the ancient of days. The ancient. There is a monarch. When all these princes are doing what they are doing, he looks at them. It's because he has his own agenda. Okay, let's read it from verse 1. Let me show you some things. Bear with me. Let's read Bible. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Verse 2. It said, Daniel spake, and I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon a great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from one another. Verse 4. It said the first was like a lion. If I had time, I would have shown you, trace all of these beasts to the different empires that have ruled this world. Because there are many empires that have ruled this world. And you would have seen how the kings drew their powers through their partnership with some of these things that this guy was saying here. But maybe another time we'll look at it. So I don't have time. My time is limited. It said, and one was like a lion and had eagle's wings. So it was a combination of a lion and an eagle kind of creature. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet of a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Next verse. And behold, another beast. That's the first kingdom, an empire entirely that just came and passed. And behold, another beast, the second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth, and in between its teeth, and they said thus upon it, arise, devour much flesh. So when you see men following them, they are actually eating them up. So when a gay movement begins and you see millions of people fighting to be gay, they are actually being fed to the beast. So their soul is surrendered. That's how these beasts exercise their dominion. And these ones are empowered to give expression to their desires. And it becomes a system and a civilization. Meanwhile, an innocent, naive person will say, I'm feeling like... Your feeling is manipulated. Your mind can be manipulated. A beast is regulating government on the earth from the heavenly realms. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of its four wings of a fowl, and the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it. It show you kingdoms that are coming before the monarch appears. You know, Jesus said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I am come. So, the devil always comes and establishes his dominion until God comes. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and break in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Those 10 horns are 10 cities. Next verse. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns, plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So these are some of the things that happened in the spirit realm and translated to different civilizations until the government of God finally appears. Now, the problem many people will have is that they will be swayed by the dispensation of all of these beasts, and they would have rejected the ways of God and chose these ways that appeal to their mind before God shows up. And then in verse 9 he said, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the head of his head like pure wool. And he said, his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Next verse. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him. Glory to God. That's where we belong. We are not swayed by the beast that emerged. He said, thousands and thousands ministered unto him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and judgment was set, and books were opened. Judgment was set. See, when time is over, judgment will be set. Now, look at the basis by which judgment we find expression. Next verse. Go to verse 13, since I don't have time. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. One like the Son of Man. Who do you think that is? That is Jesus, the Son of God. Now, if you study the things that will happen in the era, because this is talking about the last days, where we are in now. The things that will happen in this era, if you study your Bible carefully, you are going to discover that there are 5 major programs that will happen in this era, resulting from the government of this beast and the emergence of the Son of Man before judgment takes place. There are five programs that will find expression here. And I began to touch it in the UK. I want to touch it briefly here because these things will help give justification to some of the things God has commanded us to do this year. Because if you don't know these things, you will think, oh, it's religion as usual. It's church program. This is beyond church. These are actually programs of princes in the heavenly realms. These are actually programs of the Almighty in the heavenly realm, finding expression among men. All of this program will result in five great manifestations on the earth realm. And the first manifestation you will find on the earth realm is what theologians call the great falling away. Many hope you saw that four kingdoms appeared before this happened, before judgment was set. And even when judgment was set, it was not everybody. If I read down, you are going to see that the Bible said one of the beasts that appeared, it said authority was given to him to war against the saints and to subdue them. So many Christians will be overpowered. Many will be subdued because of this operation that will take place. And this operation will result in what we coin as the great falling away. Many will fall away before the Son of Man appears in judgment. 2 Thessalonians, quickly. Chapter 2. Help me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming. So he's talking about the vision that Daniel saw. That one like the Son of Man appeared. He said, I am beseeching you on the authority of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, and by the gathering together. You saw that the Bible said there were what? 1,000 upon 1,000, 10,000 times 10,000. That's when we are caught up, what you call the rapture. It said the coming of the Son of Man and the gathering is something that should trigger fear in the heart of men. It said, on the strength of this great event, I am beseeching you, I am calling your attention, I am drawing you to this reality, because these things must happen. Some will be caught up to him, and the great one will appear, because the judgment is coming. I beseech you, brethren, by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. Next verse. That you be not shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Because many will shake, many will quiver, many their minds will be affected, and they will change their conviction. He said, but you be assured that Christ is coming. We will gather unto him. On the strength of that, don't be troubled. And even this letter I'm writing to you may sound scary. He said, let it not scare you. And then he went to verse 3, which is my emphasis. The great falling away. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. He said, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin is revealed. There will first be a falling away. People who once prophesied will become liars. People who once preached the gospel will become evil men. And people who don't know God at all will continue not to know him. In Matthew 24 verse 12, he said, because iniquity shall abound. He said, the love of many shall what? Shall wax cold. So, both those who know God and those who have never known God, he said, many of them will fall away. What do you see in our generation today? Prayer has become extinct. When somebody tells you, he prayed for 2 hours, he prayed for 3 hours, he prayed for 4 hours, some people open their mouth and they are like, is it possible to pray for 4 hours? If it's possible to watch movies for 5 hours, why is it not possible to pray for 4 hours? Because the love of many shall what? Shall wax cold. They will have power to engage the world system, but they will not have power to engage God. And so when it has to do with interaction with God, they will discover they are weak. And because they don't have energy to interact with God, anything that comes from the realm of the princes of darkness will sway them. That's why you see compromise in our world today. Some people fall because of peer pressure. Some people fall because of the love for this world. Some people fall because of the deceitfulness of riches. Some people fall because of the cares of this life. But there will be great falling away. Many channels. One sure activity. Falling away. That's why I say him that standeth should be careful lest he falls. See, why am I telling you this? The work of God at this time is not a choice you make. It is your insurance eternally. And so if God is speaking and you find conviction, plunge yourself into it so that you don't fall by the wayside. There are robust intelligence designed to make sure even me who is preaching here falls. You stand, you are talking about God boldly, and they are studying you in the spirit realm. What is the price of this man? What strategy can we formulate? If they need to go to your great grandfather, they will go to him. So that they study the weaknesses that are captured in those patterns. Because they know that if there are transgenerational blessings, there are also transgenerational weaknesses. If Abraham loved fair women, Isaac will love fair women. Jacob will love fair women. So they will track your weakness from your bloodline. Patterns of the bloodline. They will track weaknesses from your ego. They will track weaknesses from your relationship. But by all means, they will not give up on anybody. Because the Son of Man will not come until there is first of all a falling away. There are kings. There are kingdoms.
There are mountains and there are thrones. Only Yeshua will run forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end.
There are kings.
There are kings. There are kingdoms.
There are kingdoms.
There are mountains.
There are mountains.
Only
Yeshua will reign forever.
To
his kingdom there is no end.
Sit down for a moment. Let me show you five intelligence that will make men fall, so that you will be careful. Number one, the Bible calls it iniquity. Matthew 24 verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound. Is there iniquity in your world? Carry your phone, you will meet it there. Go to the market, you will meet it there. Everywhere you go to, you collide with it. The other day I was trying to write on my notepad and a naked person popped up. The question is, this is not even a graphic platform. What concerns my notepad that was designed to take notes with strange pictures? It's called the abundance of iniquity. It said the law. See, when you see lawlessness and sin, be careful. Don't stand up and say, we are strong, we are shielded. Be careful. Let him that standeth take heed. Lest he fall. He's telling you these things will happen because iniquity shall abound. He said the love of many shall wax cold. Number two is the deceitfulness of riches. You see, our focus today as a people, even in church, is, oh, God bless me. God give me a car. God give me promotion. There's nothing wrong in blessing you. He said, I've not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. But if that becomes your focus, you are in trouble. Because the more you have, the more tendency of being deceived you will become. The Bible calls it the deceitfulness of riches. Mark 4:19. And in that same scripture, he gave you the second thing that would trigger the fall. The cares of this life. Those who don't have enough, who have to pay bills every day. He said even those ones are endangered. Because if you don't have house rent, if you don't have school fees for your children, if you are not careful, you will do something that you don't believe you are able to do. The cares of this life. So neither the rich nor the poor is spared in this equation. The devil is coming for both the rich and is coming for both the poor. The one that has, there is deception in riches. The one that is poor, there are cares. All of that is done to buffet his soul. And then he went further to tell us the fourth thing that makes for falling away. He said, is the love for this world. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 15 to verse 17. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, they that love the world, the love of the Father, he didn't say shall be taken from them. He said, it's not in them. And now say, what is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Hear this. If you want to serve God in the last day, be careful what you desire. You must be spiritual enough to censor your desires. This generation that somebody drives a car, another person is having sleepless nights. Somebody wears a ring, another person is going to do everything to wear the same ring. Be careful what you desire. Because the devil will route every pathway to make sure that you and I fall away. And then be careful what you anchor your confidence on. This generation where somebody has a car, he feels he has arrived. Somebody is elected into an office, he feels he has become a god. Be careful. He said, a man's value is not in the multitude of his possession. As far as God is concerned, a car added nothing to you. As far as God is concerned, a promotion on a job added nothing to you. That's not the route to kingdom promotion. We may call it promotion, call it breakthrough in church, because we are a fallen people. But in the realms of the spirit, promotion has to do with where you are standing in God. Promotion has to do with the assignments of the kingdom that you can be entrusted with. Promotion has to do with the level of authority that you wield in the realm of God. Promotion has to do with the extent to which you represent God's interest to a jurisdiction that is apportioned to you. That is what the Bible considers as promotion. Be careful what informs your essence. Lust, pride will cause many to fall. And apart from that, there is also warfare and persecution. Those who refuse to fall by iniquity, those who refuse to fall by the deceitfulness of riches, those who refuse to fall by the cares of this life, those who refuse to fall by lust and pride, the devil will come against them with battles and warfares. You think you will not fall? I will fight you until you give up. And it can attack your health. It can attack your finances. It can attack your family. As much as is within your power, take up the shield of faith and defend what is yours. As much as is within your power, shield yourself with prophetic utterances. And even the ones you cannot handle, tell him, it doesn't matter if we are thrown into the fire. The fire can be made seven times hotter. We will not bow, for our God is able to save us. Even if he chooses not to save us, we will not bow. Throw us into the lion's den. We can be eaten up by the lion. And God is also able to protect us from the lion. But whether he saves us or not, we will stand with the God of heaven. This is why I fear for the Christians that have been raised. Because this is a generation where we think church is growing because the auditorium is plenty. Listen, there's nothing wrong in number. We are out to win as much multitude as we can win this year. But let me tell you something. The glory of the church is not in the number. It's the people that make up the number. Can you represent God in your family? Can you represent God in your territory? Can you represent God in your nation? What God is looking for is not just number, it's ranking. How many men can move the hand of God? How many men can bring the government of God to a territory? That should be a greater pursuit. Why we pursue the number? Because every soul must be won. We must make sure they are discipled until they become ambassadors of heaven. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, in this world you will have tribulation.
He said, but be of good cheer. How can I be of good cheer in tribulation? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, my peace I give you, not as the world give it. See, there is something on our inside, and we must raise men who can travel to touch the tangibility of those things. He said, rejoice. Again, I say unto you, rejoice. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. Not because there is abundance, but because there are spiritual technologies of routing the path of Zion until you come to where him that is light dwells. He said, in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He said, let your request be made unto God. Even when he doesn't answer, he said, the peace of God that surpasses knowledge. There is a peace that mind cannot understand. That's what we route in the spirit. But where is the generation that can find God in the midst of persecution? Where is the generation that can find God in the midst of lack? That although the fig tree may not blossom, the labor of the olive might fail, there may be no head in the yard, but I know something, that my God is the horn of my salvation. He will cause my feet to walk in my high places, for he has made my feet like the hind feet. Nothing can break me, nothing can pull me down. I will rather suffer persecution for the name of the Lord than to compromise for the pleasures of this life. Know what the Bible said? It said, when Moses was come of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than the pleasures of Egypt, which but was for a season, for he saw him that was invincible. Where is that generation that have the stature to stand until they see him that dwells in the coals of fire? There's a program. Many will fall away, but by the message of God, a generation that will stand is rising, and you are part of that generation. An army without compromise is rising, and you are part of that army. I decree and declare, by the power of him that keeps us from falling, you will stand and shine in the midst of darkness.
Such thing as choir department, media department,
music department in the last day church. See, for administrative purpose, people can be engrafted to do different things. The real department is in the spirit. Paul said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. The guy playing that guitar should be able to enter a territory and take it over. Otherwise, that thing is religion. The guy playing that keyboard should be able to enter a system and bring the government of God. Otherwise, this thing is a religion. This does not supertend over dimensions in the spirit. And so regardless of where you are, you can be an usher, you can be a drummer, you can be on the computer, you carry enough of God to take a city. In the early church, ushers were city takers. He said Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there. The city was filled with joy. Is that an usher? No. That means there are superior departments in the spirit. There are superior dimensions in the spirit. When I come to church, I can serve in the ushering. I can serve in the choir. I can serve in the sanitary unit. But over and above that, I'm an ambassador. Anywhere you find me, you find kingdom. That's the generation that God is raising. Sit down for a moment. I need to step down a little. I have so much to say. See, before this year is over, most of you will find yourself in territories shining like princes of Zion. Before this year is over, most of you will find yourself wielding the powers of the ages to come. Through miracles, signs and wonders. Through dimensions seen and dimensions unseen. Most of you will find yourself addressing even matters that borders on the very constellations of heaven. Because of the realms that you will enter. Because it's not church as usual. The cry of the army is about to be heard in the nations of the world.
For the kings to be born, for the ancients to arise, for the princes to arise, for the prophets to arise. Halli, halli, yo.
Halli, yo.
Halli, halli, yo.
Halli, halli, yo.
Mantles have been given to the church once again. Mandates have been given to the church once again. For us to arise from the church once again. The Caius will arise from the church once again. Jeremiah's will arise from the church once again. For the kings to be born, for the ancients to arise. For the princes to arise, for the monarchs to arise. Halli, halli, yo.
The Lord God liveth, by whose oracle I speak. From today, your capacity is enlarged to become a citizen. Every weakness that has subjugated your potential, by the power of heaven, they crumble tonight in the name of Jesus. Sit down for a moment. Ah, my God. Thank you, Father. Sit down. Some of you will be drunk by the wines of heaven. Something will intoxicate you. That even if the whole generation compromises, you will stand your ground. Like Noah, you will bear a testimony of a righteous man. A whole generation can fall, but you will stand by the powers of the Spirit. Sit down, let's journey. It will be the great falling away. But you see, the great falling away is not the only program. I need to slow down and lower the momentum so I can move further. There is also the great commission. As men are falling, God is ordaining men. Listen, the time is short. Don't make the mistake of thinking we have eternity. Jesus speaking, he said, the harvest truly is plenteous. He said, the laborers are few. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to his vine. He said, say not that there is yet 4 months, then there shall be harvest. He said, I tell you already, the field is already white. Don't deceive yourself. God is already ordaining the voices of the next dispensation. God is already raising the generals of the next dispensation. I tell you, very soon the gate will be shut and you'll be amazed that the men that will determine the operations of God in the kingdom for the next 40 years have already been numbered. When the calling comes, oh, don't shut it down. Some of you, you go to sleep, you discover sleep is taken away. It's because there is a clarion call in the spirit. The alarms of heaven are being sounded so that your spirit man can come out of your slumber. It said, go into all the world, disciple all nations. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. Go into all the world. The word nations there is the word ethnos. It means disciple every ethnic group. Disciple every race. Disciple every tribe. No race will be left behind. No nation will be left behind. No ethnic group will be left behind. And so any race you get into, you become the progenitor of that race in the spirit. That's why Paul said, my little children, of whom I travel again in prayers unto Christ. Some of you will not only win men into the kingdom, you will win races. You will win systems. You will win nations. Because such is the capacity with which we are commissioned. That's why he said, you are a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. Go into other worlds, disciple all nations. I don't know about you, but I'm not only interested in nations, brothers. I'm interested in generations. I'm interested in the whole universe, because such as you desire is what you will carry. You say, ask of me, I will give you the nations for an inheritance, the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. A generation has been commissioned. You are not a girl. You are not a boy. You are part of God's army. Some of you are lights in darkness. Some of you are cities set upon the hill. Some of you are progenitors of nations, systems, territories, and generations. But if you don't accept the call, you cannot see your reality. I was talking to a dear brother last night, a man that carried the callings of God. But now he's trying to commission an MC platform to be invited to do MC and make people laugh. A man that carried a sacred calling. I said, when did you go down to this level? He said, I've seen an abomination upon the earth, that princes are trekking while beggars are riding on horses. I know the dignity of labor, but men have rank. Men have stature. Men have status in the spirit. If you are called to communicate the oracles of God to nations and to kings, when did you degenerate to become an MC that makes men laugh? I'm not saying being an MC is not a noble profession, but I'm saying you have a calling on your life. He said, no man taketh this honor upon himself, even as it was concerning Aaron and his sons. Some of us have been called into the priesthood of God.
na 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 na. Yeah, na na. Ombe mi so. Ombe mi sare. Owo Oluwa mbe lori aye mi. Ombe mi fo. Ombe mi sare. Owo Oluwa mbe.
To be dislocated. The time is even too short. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, we had the luxury. Not now. The gates are about to be closed. This is not the time to be thinking creatively. What do I do to survive? This is the time to hear the alarms of the Spirit. If you are called to be an MC, that's fine. That's your calling. But don't because of what to eat. Leave what God has ordained for you to look for what works. Men have been commissioned. Men have been summoned to the high heavens. Nations have been allocated to men. There is so much activity in the spirit, but many are not aware.
I will run and never be tired. Hope me before.
Sit down for a moment. Let me show you something. There are four major scriptures that talks about the Great Commission. Matthew 28 verse 18 and 19. The word used there is the word ethnos. It means God is sending men to colonize ethnic groups and races. So there are men who have the capacity and the stature to win races. The second scripture for the commission, the Great Commission, is Matthew 24 verse 14. The word used there is the word icomen. That is talking about empires. So there are men who are not only sent to races. They are men sent to colonize established empires. Organized systems that have built ideologies that rebel against God. They have powers to shut it down. They can enter the media and take it over. They can enter the academia and take it over. They can enter the music world and take it over. They are sent to empires. They can enter territories with ancient empires that represent that priesthood, uproot them and establish a new government. The third scripture used for the commission is Mark 16 verse 15. Go into all the worlds. The word used there is the cosmos. That's the whole earth. There are certain men that have the capacity to affect their generation. So long as you are on earth in their era, they must touch you. He said, until the time of John, the whole earth, a man had influence over the earth. Listen, this is not the time to play around. Capacities are being granted. Ordinations are being given. That's why we do what we do. This is not church program. It's about a corporate heritage that spiraled from eternity past and is heading into eternity future, flowing out of Zion through the earth realm to the world that is to come, so that men can build capacity and be fortified like the walls of the New Jerusalem. This is not the time to be motivated to do God's work. This is the time to beg for it. He said, when the kingdom is preached, men pressed into it. He said, in the days of thy power, the people shall be willing in the beauty of holiness.
Owo Oluwa nbe lori aye mi o. Ounbe mi po. Owo
refuse to be normal. Fight it until something divine breaks out of you. If you are not taking races and ethnic groups, take empires. If you are not taking empires, take the earth. Such has been given. The last word used for the commission is in Galatians chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. Is the word for the age is aeon. Aeon. There are certain men that are called to win an age, an era in the dispensations of God. Is their era. So when you get to eternity, they don't read 2022, 2023. They read the times of Abraham, the times of John, the times of Paul. They represent those era. So everybody who affected the earth, affected empires and affected ethnic groups will line up behind them. It's like they are the chapters of those books of God. This is what men should contend for. And that's why the calling is an honorable thing. Fight for it until you find your place in God. There's the great commission. And then there is the great awakening. Because when we are sent, we are not lecturers. We are not talkers. We are high commissioners of heaven, carrying the burdens of the kingdom, the powers of the age to come, and the voice of our master like a trumpet. And so when we cry, the entity and the territory to which we are sent must wake up. The Bible said when God sent Jonah to Nineveh, as he entered the city, he cried, the king tore his garment. See, there are powers that will bow to your voice. The thing is that you have not entered your calling. He said John was in the wilderness and all he was doing was crying, prepare way for the Lord, make straight his path, prepare way for the Lord. He was not a theologian, he only had a voice. And the Bible said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. Jesus came and made reference to John. When they came to Jesus and tried to arrest him, Jesus used John's validation to prove his ministry. You claim you are the son of God? And they said, is John a prophet? Because if you believe John a prophet, John said, I am the son of God. Why are you doubting? And he said, he was a burning and a shining light. He said, you were willing to stay under his light for a season. That is the awakening. You see, we are not talkers. In Ephesians 5:14, he said, awake, awake, thou that sleepeth. Arise from the bed of the dead. And they say, Christ will give you light. See, we wake a generation up so that they can encounter the light of heaven. That's who we are. That's why we are doing what we are doing. That's why we will be spent until this is achieved. Because many nations will sleep and sleep into condemnation. Many aeons will sleep into condemnation until the army arise. That's why I say, arise, shine. Thy light is come. So we are awakened to awaken others. And then, after that comes the great tribulation. In Matthew 24 verse 21, Jesus said, there shall be a tribulation, a great tribulation. He said, there has never been anything like that. And he said, there will never be anything like it again until time is accomplished. But you know the good news? We have encountered God too much to be affected by whatever kind of tribulation. That's why if you study Revelation 13 verse 5 and 6, the Bible said, who are these that are dressed with white robes? Ah! Help me quickly. Ah! Ah! Go to verse 6. I'm showing you things that will happen. Go to the next verse. They say, what are these that are arrayed in white robes. And whence come they? Because even in heaven, there are those who are distinguished. Who are these ones who are wearing white robes? Where do they come from? And he said, go to the next verse. And I said unto him, he said, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. Nothing can consume you. Whether you are raptured before it comes, whether you are there when it happens, whether you are raptured after, the prophecies that we will come out of it. So it's not pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, or mid-tribulation that is our body. The thing is that we are carrying garments that cannot be stained. The Bible said, hot not the oil and the wine. You can't touch our spirit. There's something we have encountered. We are alive in God. You can't get us to compromise for whatever reason. That's the generation awakened to God, that the sting of death cannot affect. After the tribulation, then comes the judgment. This is what will happen before the scripture in Daniel 7 verse 13. Before the Son of Man shall return. There's activity on the earth. It's on the strength of these happenings that God commissioned us this year to go and get the great harvest. Because there is a soul that must not perish. There's a nation that must not perish. There is a system that must not perish. There is a tribe that must not perish. And there's a generation that must not waste. This is why we are commissioned. And so God told us in 2024, he said it's the year of the great harvest. Listen, we will not only win men, we will win races, we will win empires, we will win nations, we will win the earth, and even the generation. We will have a stake in its heritage. But only those who are fortified like the army can stand. And I told you there are four kinds of fortification. The first is light. Because you cannot have a great harvest without a great light. He said, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. John 1 verse 4. So every one of us who believes the word and receives the word, one of the encounters we have in this year are diverse encounters with light. You will know what you were not taught. You will see what many have not seen. So that on the strength of those light encounters, you can shut Pharaoh down. He said in Exodus chapter 3 from verse 1, he said Moses kept the flock of his father-in-law until he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And he saw a bush burning that was not consumed. And he said, I will turn to see what this great sight is. Suddenly, he heard a voice, take off thy sandals. Where you are standing is a holy ground. Most of you will come to holy grounds. Because when light appears to you, it will bring you to the era and the realms of sanctification. Take off thy sandals. For where you are standing is the holy ground. And from that encounter, even the rod of Moses became the rod of God. And Moses returned to Egypt and went to Pharaoh. Let my people go, that they may serve me. If you have not encountered light, you cannot engender the great harvest. And so God will generously open us up to chambers of light. Get ready. You will learn wisdom even from the street. I will do your will. To do your will, O God. I come in the volume. I come in the volume of the book. It was written about me. To do your will, O God. I come in the volume. I come in the volume of the book. It was written about me. To do your will, O God. Hear me, brothers and sisters. There's no room for religion this year. Everything we do will be by light. Job said in Job 29 verse 4, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacles. He said, by light, I walk through darkness. See, this is a year of great victories. Watch it. Most of you will have many victories that you've not had in decades. Because of light. Because the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. So you are going to have testimonies upon testimonies. Victories upon victories. Because you will function by light. When you pray, you will see. When you study, you will see. When you fast, you will see. When you give, you will see. Everything will bring you into the multifaceted dimension of the tributaries of light. You will encounter light that will make you a victor and more than a conqueror. That's what the year is about. It's not a year of groping in ignorance. It's a year of walking in dimensions of light. And you know what this light will do? It will not only give you victory, it will give you influence. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It says, for the Gentiles shall come to your light. And kings, some of you kings will seek you. It says, they will come to the brightness of your rising. You are not going to lobby to see a king. You are not going to lobby to see a CEO. The effulgence of light that comes out of your spirit will not only attract the multitude, even the kings will trace them. Get ready. See, that's why you need to be prepared this year. There are certain courses that you must learn. Because you are stepping into royal and noble realms. Realms where ignorance cannot find expression. Realms where mistakes. See, all these things, they give you something to do. You are making 1,001 mistakes. No excellence. You have to arise from that realm. That's what engenders the harvest. The moment the light comes, he said, the Gentiles. How do you think they found John? He was a burning and a shining light. So the light will give you victories. The light will give you influence. That influence is what will make you win the great harvest. And above all, the light will make you glorify God. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you don't just carry the light. This year, you will let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Listen, this is not the year of complacency. This is not the year of timidity. This is not the year of fear. This is not the year of withdrawing to the back. This is the year to shine. I shine forth like the brightness of the heavens. I shine forth like the lights of the firmament. I shine forth like the glory of the Father. Because when I receive the light, the glory of the Father will rest upon me. You need a consciousness, brother. You don't just carry the light. You are the light. He said, you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. See, this thing will open you up. Don't do religion this year. I beg you. When you study the Bible, search light. When you pray, seek light. Seek it. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, ask of me, I will answer. But I'm not just here to answer you. He said, I will show you great, mighty things that you know not of. And when you catch that light, as you are going out, you are glorifying God. As you are going out, you are winning and subduing darkness. As you are going out, your influence is spreading, spreading. And by that influence, you are winning hundreds, thousands, millions. And you are affecting kings and empires. prophesy over you. Every darkness and shadow cast upon your path is removed in the name of Jesus. Step into superior dimensions of light by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. You know what the psalmist said? In Psalm 119 verse 105. He said, thy word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. I'm not a theologian. I'm not reading the Bible to quote. I'm not reading the Bible to argue. I'm reading the Bible to access the mysteries of God. And by those mysteries, I win victories. I dominate my world. I reck in harvest. I'm not praying to win the record of the longest prayer warrior. I'm ascending to the realms of God. I'm ascending to heights in Zion to catch things that are immortal, and on the strength of my apprehension, dominate my world. I'm not coming to fellowship because I belong to a denomination. I'm coming because there's a word to Katalambalo. There's a light to catch. And when I catch it, I become an answer to my generation. That will be your portion. You will shine in this era. Sit down for a moment. I'm rounding up.
There's darkness at the sight of the light. Evaporated at the glimpse of light. You're the light. You're the light to make my face shine bright. And as I look your face, and as I look your face, I become the light.
Imale da,
imale da, okuku.
Shame. He said they looked up to him and their faces were radiant and they were not ashamed. You will glow this year because your light is come. Sit down. I told you the second operational modality is empowerment. God will not tell you to go and win great harvest if he doesn't empower you. See, you will see dimensions of empowerment that you have never seen before. You will just talk, things will happen. You will do things, they will work. Because the finger of God will support you. Empowerment like has never been known is what most of you will enjoy this year. And I gave you certain dimensions of those empowerment. Number one, I said there will be financial empowerment. Listen, you can't win no great harvest without financial power. I'm not just saying you have money in your account. No. I'm saying you have the power to get wealth. And you know the power to get wealth is beyond I have a job, I broker the contract, or there's savings. No. The power to get wealth manifests through wisdom. You do something that gives you a value that makes you stand out. And it causes wealth to aggregate in your direction. The power to get wealth manifests through favor. In Exodus 12:26, he said he gave favor to the Israelites, despite the Egyptian. It causes wealth transfer. The power to get wealth manifests in terms of opportunities. Opportunities that others miss. Opportunities that others don't see. You move from one, you enter another. You enter another. He said the lines are falling onto you in pleasant places because you have a goodly heritage. It's opportunities. Let me tell you, the men commanding wealth, they have the eyes to see opportunities or the feet to carry them to opportune places. That's how they command wealth. It takes wisdom. It takes favor. It takes opportunities. And it takes honorable connections. Honorable partnership. See, there is somebody that carries your tomorrow in his hand. If God wants to empower you, he will cause the algorithm of territories, times, systems, and nations to align until you collide. And with one word, your story can change. So when we talk about financial empowerment, we are talking something superior to the promises of politicians and nations. We are talking something that comes from heaven. That's what God will bring many of you. Because of the great harvest. In Deuteronomy 8:18, He said, you shall remember the Lord your God. It is him that giveth thee power to get wealth, to establish his covenant. So if there's no wealth, there'll be no establishment of kingdom, covenants, and policies. Zechariah 1:17, he said, cry out loud and say, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. So we are talking prosperity that manifests first in form of financial empowerment. Number two, I told you, you are going to have influence. Influence is a scepter in the spirit. They say, my horn had thou exalted as the horn of the unicorn, because you have anointed me with fresh oil. See, there can be 1,001 bankers. If God puts influence on your life, something will make you stand out. There can be 1,001 fishermen. If God puts something on your life, you will stand out. There can be 1,001 preachers. If God puts something on your life, you will stand out. There are 1,001 tailors. If God puts something on your life, you will stand out. It's called influence. And listen, we can't take systems and nations until influence become like a garment that we wear. Otherwise, you will labor and labor until all your strength is gone. You will still not have enough result. Influence is like a favor that you have with a spirit that causes that spirit to deploy his possibilities on your account. So when Moses stood before Pharaoh, they saw a God. Exodus 7 verse 1, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. So when Moses appeared, he was not just a prophet in the eyes of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was seeing a God. That's why he couldn't imagine killing him. The guy walks into his palace as he pleases and threatens him. That's Pharaoh. But there was something on his life. You will talk, a generation will listen. Because of influence. You will lay your hand on something, a generation will seek it. Because, see, what do you think most of these multinational companies ride on? You think it's creativity? Somebody draws an apple, cuts a part of it out, and it becomes a madness for a generation. You think it's creativity? It's a signature of spirit, influence. That's why companies pursue brands. This suit I'm wearing, if they put LV on it, the price will triple. Not because the sewing is better, because it has become a Louis Vuitton brand. And you see people sending millions of dollars. That thing you called a brand is actually an influence. And what God will do for every one of us listening here, he will put something on you that will make you greater than a brand. Oh, him in the air. That's who you are. That's who you are.
That's who you are.
Oh, him in the air.
Oh, him in the air.
Oh, him in the air. That's who you are.
That's who you are.
That's who you are.
Oh, him in the air.
Oh, him in the air.
Oh, God, oh,
that's who you are.
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 Oh, him in the air.
Ordinary preacher. You are doing real estate, get ready. God will give you influence. You are selling hair, get ready. God will give you influence. The biggest of people will seek you. Telling you, God will give you influence. You are sewing clothes, get ready. God will give you influence. You are singing, get ready. God will give you influence. You have a company, get ready. God will give you influence. Remember the Lord your God. It is Him that giveth thee power. You have a microfinance bank, get ready. God will give you influence. You are a preacher, get ready. God will give you influence. Not for you, for the kingdom. In Micah chapter 4 verse 1, Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2, it says, in the last days, the house of the Lord shall be upon the mountains of God. And it says, men of all nations shall say, let us go to the house of the Lord. For out of Zion proceeds the law. Nations, they seek you. I know you may not have enough education. Don't worry. I know you may not even have a husband. You are a widow. Don't worry. It's a time will fail me to speak of Gideon, to speak of Barak, to speak of Jephthah, to speak of Samuel, of David, and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, obtained righteousness, shut the mouth of lions, point the violence of fire. Weak men were made valiant in battle, and they put to flight the armies of the alien. I thought they would stop there. He said, no. He said, women received their dead back to life. Even those that society has rejected, God will find them. He said, He has broken the bow of the mighty. He has broken it. He said, talk no more exceedingly arrogantly, for our God is the God of knowledge. By Him actions are weighed. And He said, He has broken the bow of the mighty. They that are strong, He has caused them to stumble. Why? He said, He delivered the poor from the donkey, the beggar from the dust, and establishes him among princes that he might inherit thrones. You will inherit thrones this year. Oh, look, mama. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, him in the air. Oh, look, mama. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Sit down for a moment. I need to finish. Because I'm not just teaching, I'm talking into your spirit. I'm releasing energy and life into your spirit to become. He said, when it spake unto me, He said, the spirit entered into me and carried me to my feet. Some of you will be carried by these words that you hear. Influence. Number three, under empowerment, He will give you strange opportunities. Opportunities. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 6 to 7, there was a ruler in a city that a sorcerer had cornered to himself. Suddenly, the guy heard that Paul and Barnabas were in town. He said, I want to hear them. And he called for them. Opportunities that will bring some of you to palaces will open to you. And you know what? When Paul spoke to him, the guy was converted. So much so that the sorcerer wanted to turn his eyes away. And Paul understood how to cash in on opportunities. He said, you son of the devil, how long will you continue to pervert the way of the Lord? He said, the hand of God is upon you, and you will be blind for a season. Immediately the guy went blind, because he knew how to grab the opportunity. That's why in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9, he said, pray for us. He said, for a great and effectual door is open, but there are many adversaries. See, you will not just have opportunities. Anything that tries to stop them, the power of God in you will counter it. Opportunities. And then honorable partnership and fraternities in light.
God will cause you to meet with the nobles. There are men that have powers to change policies. There are men that have powers to break protocols. There are men that have powers to invest in kingdom projects and make it global. Even Jesus had them. The Bible said there was a man called Joseph of Arimathea, a secret disciple of Jesus. When Jesus died, the guy showed up. What do you mean by keeping his body? Release it now. Protocols were broken. There's no tomb. Take this brand new tomb, put him there. He deserves honor even in his death. I'm telling you, that's partnership, honorable partnership. Certain men will look at you and say, no, this church can't be here. Come and take this 20 hectares of land. Ha ha! Hey! Somebody shows up and says, come on, these crusades are becoming bigger. Now give me a budget for the 30 crusades this year. They are paid. Hey, hey! Makato Bakatura Baraga Dazaf Sexaziza Bakratini Sanzagarak Sarata. We will meet them this year. Ando Parasafragadini Karak. You don't know what I'm talking about? You say, oh, this business is not working. And somebody comes and says, come on, what are you talking about? I know somebody in Dubai. I know somebody in England. Come, first thing tomorrow, cut British Airways. I want you to meet somebody in London. And your business that is about to shut suddenly becomes global because of connection, partnership. Makero Savika, Baraga Sata. Hear me. I decree and declare all the connections you require this year to take you to the next level. Catch them now. Receive them now. Step into them now. In the name of Jesus. About souls. Don't get it wrong. It's about increase on every side. Because it's the degree to which you are increased that will translate to the souls you can win. So it's not just, oh, we are winning 2 million souls. No way. It's that we are becoming bigger on every side. Greater on every side. Did you not read Psalm 68 verse 11? It said the Lord gave the word. The word did not just prosper. He said, great was the company of them that published it. You will become 1,000 times bigger than you are now. I'm not talking to you. Let me talk to those online. In the name of Jesus, you become 1,000 times bigger than you are. If your amen is louder, you'll catch it first. Hey! Somebody shout! Yes, the year of the great harvest. We didn't just appear, we were prayed here. You don't know what Jesus said? He said, the harvest truly is plenteous. He said, but the laborers are few. He said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he might usher in. So we were ushered here by prayer. That's why what we need has already been taken care of. We cannot be small. We are many, many, many times bigger by the Spirit. Finally, the great harvest will require great speed. That means what you did last year, you have to do many times this year. If your turnover last year was 10 billion, this year it must be 40 billion. That's the least. If the souls you won last year was 600,000, this year you must win 2.4 million. That's the least. Because God will do a big work and he will cut it short in righteousness. He said in one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah
18 verse 46. He said the hand of God. This is not about human creativity. It's about supernatural propelling. The hand of God was upon Elijah. Who, guess who Elijah outran? Is the king of the land. You will become faster than the best. You will become greater than the strongest. Not by power, not by might, but by the spirit of the living God. Look at the early church. Imagine the speed God gave them. Acts 2 verse 1 and 2. The Holy Ghost came upon them. Acts 2 verse 41. They won 3,000 souls. Acts 2 47. Daily men were adding to the church. Acts 4 verse 4. They won 5,000 souls. Acts 6 verse 1 and 2. They became a multitude they could no longer feed. Acts 6 verse 7. Even the great company of the priests became obedient to the faith. Acts 8 verse 5. Individuals started taking cities. Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ. The whole city was taken. Acts 13 44. The ones that went to the Gentile land, even there they took over. He said on the next Sunday, the whole city came to hear Paul. Influence. Speed. That's what God is giving us. Get ready. Get ready for speed. I'm not saying God will violate process. I'm saying God will be increasing you and training you at the same time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It will require greater consecration. Greater. I don't have time to teach consecration tonight, but I will teach you on another day. There are 5 levels of consecration. 5. Most of my early teachers, these were the things they taught me. Billy Akani, Zach Poonen, Derek Prince. See, you can't be big in God unless you are fortified in consecration. And in our generation, this modern era, men like David Obueli, this is what makes men big. And I will teach you, you guys will enter dangerous realms of consecration this year. See, you don't do big things by chance. You do it because you will become. Anywhere you go, you can replicate it. Because you have been built for it. There's the believer's consecration. And it has 5-fold purity, service, integrity, sacrifice, and ability to tame the flesh. Those are the 5 components of the believer's consecration. Our praying, fasting, all of those programs is to build these 5 things into us. Purity. Ability to tame. Paul said, I beat my body. I bring it under subjection. That's consecration. You can tame the flesh. Purity. He said, in the standard of the law, stand that sure. 2 Timothy 2:19. He said, God knows them that are his. He said, they that name the name of the Lord must depart from iniquity. 2 Corinthians 6:17. He said, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. They that bear the vessels of God must be clean. Purity. Self-control or the ability to tame the flesh. And integrity. He said, we have walked before you blameless. Samuel showed up and said, let everybody come out. I have not taken a lamb from anybody. Nobody could accuse him. More than 40 years of prophetic ministry. Nobody. Integrity. Service. Forget service. Acts 15:26. Paul and Barnabas. He said, men that have started their lives for the kingdom. We serve until we are spent. is consecration. All of that is believer's consecration. There is a higher level. There's what we also called the stewardship consecration. That one is not just you are trying to serve God. You have become God's trust. That means everything you have does not belong to you. From your time, to your energy, to your resources. Oh, I wish I had time to tell you stories of the early church. There are certain men that God blessed with wealth. They tell God 10% tithe is for beginners. He said, we will give you 90%. And they don't just do it carelessly. They open a trust. And that trust is responsible for sponsoring gospel to continents where there are no gospel. Millions of dollars. Some of them swear the oath of abnegation. That means they don't have the right to enjoy life. All their days and their resources is spent for God. That's the kind of life people like Mother Teresa lived. And you leave your comfort zone. You go and live among the people so that they can be one. That's the signature of the Moravian brothers. They could sell themselves as slaves. So they give up their comfort. It's a type of consecration. Listen, when we talk great harvest, it comes with great price. Stewardship. Not this generation where tell somebody to sing is charging you money and they are trying to grab justification. If this era is the early church, Christianity will reach us. In 1 Corinthians 9:18, Paul said, I preach the gospel free of charge. I'm not saying you shouldn't be honored, but I'm saying you are a thief if you have to ask for money before you serve God. Allow God to put honor on your life. When you go, you will be honored. I know the Bible said no man goes to war at his own cost, but we are not hirelings. I know the laborer is worthy of his wages, but there is a more Christ-like way to do things. Which apostle in the Bible, which minister of God in the Bible said, for me to come to your city, pay me? So when Paul had the Macedonian call, Paul will now call them and say, give me 10,000 before I come. A generation that knows consecration will rise. If you say you have been cheated, you are not the only one. I traveled 2 days' journey, went to preach. When I finished preaching, the person I preached for was a thief. I had to return. I've gone to preach before. They said they are having challenge with exchange rate. I paid my flight well till today. When I came back, they said they want to give me an original instrumental. I said, don't worry. Use it to help disciple the people that we want. I went to preach. When I finished, the man said, before you arrive in Nigeria, it's 2 days' journey. We're having some delay with bank. Till today, bank has not worked. I said, oh God, don't worry. Use that money to disciple. Oh God, we are servants of Christ. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. Luke was right and he said, for as many as have taken in hand to set forth a declaration of those things that are most surely believed among us, even as they were committed to us who were eyewitnesses and servants of the world. We are servants of Christ. We are looking for great harvest. We will need great consecrations. And then you have specialized consecration. There's a priesthood consecration. Go and read your Bible. That's why the priests don't drink wine. It's a consecration. They are like programs that only God regulates. Because these ones have become custodians of the oracles of God. You minister to the spirit of Elohim. Only Him can influence you. That's the idea of the priesthood. That's why they don't drink wine. They don't need any other inspiration from any other source. Only the light from the Shekinah can illuminate them. This generation where people derive pleasure, strategy, and inspiration from everywhere, there are things we can't do. That's why our conviction keeps vacillating and fluctuating. We need men who can enter the priesthood consecration. And then you have what they call the Nazarite consecration. These ones, they have sworn an oath not to be defiled. That's why Nazarites don't touch the dead. And as a sign that they are consecrated, they don't cut their hair. So every time you see the hair, you know that this one is walking blameless before God. If they have to die to keep their purity, they will keep it at the expense of death.
And then you have the eunuch's consecration. This one refused to marry to serve God. That's the zenith of it all. That's why Jesus didn't marry. Paul didn't marry. It's not a crime. Elijah didn't marry. Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, if you are a virgin, remain so. You will serve God better. Some of us don't even have the power to keep that level of consecration. Thank God it's not a must at that level. But I thought like Paul. Me too, I will come and leave a witness to a generation. He said, some were born eunuchs. Others were made eunuchs. He said, others made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom. He said, if you have the power. I didn't have that power. But at least the first four. My God, my God. Somebody, come on, come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Makoria, Bakaduda, Shabaka, Shaka, Barada, Guata, Tatatina, Bantarobas, Kabate, Zelila, Pariano, Sansa, Brata, Buraka, Tia. Alleluia. 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 Make a difference. Be a baptism tonight. Some of you are about to be invited to the Holy of Holies, where all you see, all you live for is God. That point in God where nothing else matters, where a true disciple is born, bearing the marks of Christ as your badge in kingdom service. Lift your hands. Seven of you will come under the hand of God now as a sign. And when I see that sign, then God has ordained that which He has declared. Father, wherever they are standing, ushers, help me, let me place this anchor on them as a mantle. I came tonight to set a generation on fire. He said, He maketh His angels spirits, but His ministers, they are flames of fire. Not theologians, not talkers, flames of fire. Father, you said tonight there shall be a baptism of fire. There are some of them that you are ordaining from the heights of the heavens. Wherever they are standing, just give us a sign. 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Carry that grace. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You will step into the realms of the miraculous. Baptisms. Baptisms. See, there are many baptisms in God. You will step into realms of miracle working power. He said the place where they were was filled with the Holy Ghost and it was shaken. And he said with great signs, God bore witness to the resurrection of Jesus. And great grace was upon them. There is a baptism that brings great grace for great signs. Father, everyone standing here, that you are making a hand of power, a balm in Gilead, on ground, online, by the Spirit, carry that fire now. Let the realms envelop you now. The hand of God comes upon you. Also accept them now. By the Spirit, 1, 2, 3, take that grace. I came by prayer. I will say in prayer. When I leave this world,
when I leave this world, I will go in prayer.
I came by prayer.
I came by prayer.
I will say in prayer.
I will say in prayer.
When I leave this world,
when I leave this world, I will go in prayer.
I came by prayer.
I came by prayer.
I will say in prayer.
When I leave this world, I will go in prayer.
Lift your hand. Finally, some of you will receive the baptism that imparts the power to get well. It doesn't matter the patterns of your bloodline. It doesn't matter your ancestry. When the hand of God comes upon you, it can make you anything. And there are three of you here, particularly. It will come upon you like a flame of fire. And every spell limiting you will break and shatter. Lift your hand. Father, on ground, online, men that have the stature to walk and to wield the scepter for wealth. He said, you shall remember the Lord your God. It is him that giveth thee power to get wealth. He said, the blessings of God make it rich, and it added no sorrow to it. Wherever they are standing, three of them as a representative number for the rest. 1, 2, 3, carry that grace.
I will pray in prayer when I leave this world.
When I leave this world, I will go in prayer.
Hear me. I beg you, believe the things you've heard. It's not just the word of God, it's the heartbeat of the Father. And for every one of you who heard and your heart was open to believe, the power to make you become, receive it now. The power to make you become, receive it now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Sit down for a moment. Those of them who can go back, they can, but any, just don't push them, just leave them. Allow them to soak. Don't allow them to soak into the atmosphere. This year is a unique year. Listen, I'm aware of what the devil is doing, and I told you some of them before the crossover. The church will be attacked. Ministers will be attacked and accused. I told you, many are already happening. Wars, famine, poverty. I told you, nations will go bankrupt. But see, we are not moved by what's happening in darkness. It said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. God faced the light. And God said, light appear. And God walked only in the light. It doesn't matter what the devil is doing. catch the word and function by the word. That's why I draw my tent around what God is doing. And you will become the first ambassador of all the Lord has spoken. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@EncounterJesusMinistriesInternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.EncounterJesusMinistriesInternational.org. God bless you.